My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is also now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He joins me now to offer his reaction to President Obama deciding to pursue normal diplomatic relations with the communist nation of Cuba. And Mr. Ambassador, it's good to have you with us.
Well, glad to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
You have certainly built up expertise in this area. You worked at the UN. You certainly have many years at the State Department as well. What was your reaction to the president deciding to normalize relations at the same time that this prisoner swap took place?
Well, I think it's a very bad decision. I think it's highly ideological. It comes from a leftist perspective in America that the president expressed in his remarks explaining the new policy that he believes that we are as much responsible for our disagreements with Cuba as the communist regime in Havana is. He referred to American colonialism, which would be news to the President McKinley and others in 1898 who fought with the Cuban people against Spain to liberate Cuba. But it is an ideological tic, and the president has given political legitimacy to the Castro regime. He's thrown them an economic lifeline and gotten essentially nothing in return.
What options does Congress have? You have Marco Rubio talking about, you know, not funding an embassy, not confirming an ambassador. Obviously, they can keep the embargo in place if they wanted to. So how much can the president do on his own?
Well, I think there may be actually less here than meets the eye from the U.S. point of view, because while the president can loosen the embargo around the edges, as you rightly say, it's embodied in statute, and there's nowhere close to a majority in Congress to repeal it. I think the damage, though, comes from the signal it sends to foreign governments. And basically, the embargo was an important political signal to people to say, don't get too close to Cuba, or you're going to have consequences in your relationship with the United States. Now the signal from Obama is we don't care, and I think that will benefit Cuba enormously from investment elsewhere in the hemisphere, from Europe, from China, from Russia.
You've obviously been very critical of the president, not only on this issue, but his engagement with Iran and how he's addressed Russia. All three of those are areas, although I'm not sure how much time he spent talking about Cuba initially on the campaign trail, is part of his policy that he said even back in the early debates, I'm willing to talk to our adversaries. Isolation's not the answer. Engagement's the answer. And so the argument from his perspective is that he's doing what he promised to do, and ultimately engagement's better than isolation. What's the rebuttal?
Well, I think, number one, very few people believed he would actually do this. And number two, negotiation is not an end in itself. The issue is, does the outcome of the negotiation benefit the United States, which is why, going back in our history, you think back to Dean Acheson and others in the early days of the Cold War who said, sure, we'll negotiate with the Soviet Union when we can do so from a position of strength. The Obama administration has negotiated in case after case after case, most recently in Cuba, from a position of strength and given everything away. This is not the end of negotiation. That's not the outcome you should seek.
In terms of the longer reach here, you mentioned that you're kind of throwing Cuba a lifeline here. Others have said there's a Venezuelan aspect here, and Venezuela, of course, has close ties with the Iranians. So how far does this go?
Well, I think it's one reason it's such a bad political signal, because I think Russia, which has been dealing in trying to increase its military presence in Cuba, perhaps reopening its listening station at Lourdes, its intelligence gathering capabilities, the connection, as you say, with Venezuela, with Iran, all of this signals that the administration's not going to push back on that. So Venezuela in very dire shape because of the collapse of the international price of oil. I think it's one reason Cuba saw real problems for itself. And what they wanted was a little relief temporarily. It's no indication they're going to change fundamentally or that any of these other regimes will change as well. In fact, the signal that's sent internationally is if you're an adversary of the United States and you want something from us, you've got the next 2 years to get it.
Mr. Ambassador, last question on this topic. The argument from the left, of course, and some on the right, was that the embargo is just not working, largely in part because most other nations don't agree with it and don't enforce it as well. So we're kind of on our own there, although an embargo of our own certainly can have an impact. So if the president didn't do this, what would have been a better policy to put more pressure on the regime to change or go away?
Well, I think doing more to help the Cuban opposition would have been perfectly in order. You know, I believe the embargo has been a success. It was never designed to overthrow the Castro regime. It was put in 1959. If that were the objective, why did President Eisenhower plan and President Kennedy implement in 1961 what became known as the Bay of Pigs invasion, which was obviously designed to overthrow Castro? If they thought the embargo was going to do that, they needn't have planned the invasion.
And very, very finally on this topic, does this suggest then that once the Castros are gone, that someone like them will arise? A lot of folks saying that this pretty much encourages that. Others say maybe not.
Well, I think it gives this dreary authoritarian regime a lifeline to perpetuate itself, to become, after the Castros die, another Latin American dreary authoritarian government. I really hope that when they finally met the actuarial tables, that you'd have the possibility of a real representative government in Cuba. And I think that has now been pushed way off into the future, which is why it's not only bad from the U.S. perspective, it's bad from the perspective of the Cuban people.
Mr. Ambassador, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks very much for your time.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.